And now it's time for the Cannabis Report here on KGNU Community Radio. I'm Hanalee Myers, and as always, I'm joined by KGNU Cannabis Correspondent and longtime marijuana reporter, Leland Rucker. Leland, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
I'm here.
So tomorrow, Friday, is National Hemp Day, and you're going to bring us up to speed on all things hemp?
Yeah, well, not all things hemp, but at least some things hemp. Let's put it that way.
Please do.
Hemp's been around for a long time. Humans have been interacting with hemp for centuries. Humans used hemp fibers to make fabric for clothing and other materials. Our founding fathers brought hemp with them to the New World, demanded that farmers grow it. And after it was banned, because it comes from the same plant as marijuana, it was banned in the United States during World War II, farmers were encouraged during that time for 2 years to grow hemp for military use. Even though it was banned, they were still urged to grow it for military use. So though it's been an essential material in several industries, the government banned it in the 1930s, along with marijuana, which left its production to other countries. And since the passage of the Farm Bill of 2018, we've been slowly trying to change that. In 2018, hemp was rescheduled to a Schedule 5 classification from its Schedule 1, and that's the same as codeine. So as a result, the growing, producing, and distribution of hemp are legal on a national level. Products made with hemp, like CBD, oils, clothing, plastics, paint, insulation, biofuels will now be more readily available, or at least we hope they will, from local farmers. And it also means the U.S. can catch up with other countries in processing hemp because we're like 70 years behind right now. And, you know, hemp and marijuana both come from the cannabis sativa plant, but the varieties that are grown to make industrial hemp and those that are grown for medical and recreational marijuana are genetically bred for different things. Some are bred for high concentrations of THC, delta-9, tetrahydrocannabinol. But hemp is high in fiber, and it's used in everything from body oils to building materials, and nobody can get high from smoking hemp, nor would anybody even want to. You wouldn't even want to try. So by federal and state definition, hemp can have no more than 0.3% on a dry weight base of THC. That's so minuscule. Most legal marijuana strains in Colorado are at least 15% THC. So this has been a problem. It continues to be a problem. The main reason is because the 0.3% was arbitrary. It wasn't based on science. It wasn't based on data. It was a number chosen at random in 1976 by a couple of Canadian horticulturalists who wrote an article about taxonomy and cannabis. And still, 45 years later, lawmakers, public policy institutes are still referencing Small's articles while shaping the law of the land. There have been efforts, really a lot of efforts, to make that number 1.0, which would be fine, but so far, no good. Now, Colorado was an early state to adopt its own hemp rules. Colorado got on the bandwagon quickly. According to hempgrower.com, in 2020, the state produced 13 million indoor square feet with 1,037 licensed growers. That's just in Colorado. Wyoming had 25 licensed growers. New Mexico had 200. So Colorado's really at the forefront of this. And it was a free-for-all at first, mostly because people were growing hemp for CBD oil, which is the thing that most people think it's used for. But CBD oil prices fell below production costs. And now people are starting to get the idea that they can grow hemp for grain and fiber. And an economist says that by 2024, 2025, they're expecting CBD acreage to be used for those things rather than just CBD oil. And I just wanted to bring up a couple of things that show how hemp has changed. Winona LaDuke, who ran for vice president of the United States a few years ago, is offering a course, and this is a serious course, about how indigenous farmers and nations are embracing hemp. So if you're interested in growing hemp, this would be something you really want to get into. They meet weekly for 10 weeks online, it'll be going from February 15th through April 26th of this year. And then for everybody else, for the rest of us, there's the NoCo Hemp Fest. That's coming March 24th and 25th at Crown Plaza Denver Convention Center in Denver. Lots of speakers, including one of my favorites, Doug Fine, a New Mexico hemp farmer, who's really a lot of fun. He's an author, too. I've talked with him many times.
Didn't he write Too High to Fail?
Yes, he wrote. He's written several books on hemp growing, and he does it himself, and he's really a wonderful guy to talk with. I remember some of the earlier hemp fests, the NoCo Hemp Fest up in Fort Collins, when they were really small and just getting started, but now it's a pretty big deal, and it's all grown up now, and you can get more information at NoCoHempExpo.com. So there's lots of ways to find out more about hemp, and really, after being not available in the United States, nobody could grow it in the United States, we're just learning again. And so it's really a good time to be involved in this. And it's really good to learn that hemp is more than just something for CBD oil. Hemp has been used for centuries for all kinds of other things, and I hope we can start using it again.
Well, Leland, thank you so much for that hemp history lesson here right before National Hemp Day. We appreciate it. And you can visit news.kgnu.org and search hemp for a wide variety of some really interesting hemp stories related to hemp news here in the West. So make sure to check that out. Leland, thanks again, as always, for bringing us that cannabis news and information.
Thanks, Hannah.
For KGNU, I'm Hannah Lee Myers.